Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bomarito. Oh, wait a minute. Joe Lordo texting in. I'll be there with the drops.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Frank dropped the ball and now
the drops
Missouri
coming
Bakery.
In.
Is it Missouri Baking Company?
Missouri Baking Company. And Joe Lordo and his lovely bride run it. It's spectacular. Plowsy had his first chocolate drops experience a few months ago.
They are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Keep them coming. I'll give you my address if you want to send monthly little nuggets.
All right.
But people can go by there and purchase some today as
yes,
well.
Yeah,
we'll have a transaction here. We would never ask for free food
exactly.
on this show.
All right. Let's welcome to the program the great Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer. Bill, good to be with you. How are you?
Fine, Frank. How you doing? Martin, how you been?
We're good. Did I hear right? Frank told me last night you weren't at Obie Clark's. You were getting takeout from Obie Clark's.
I was. I had talked with Frank on the air, left there, was en route home, and I'll stop off. I was leaving home just to go out for a few minutes, and I said, what the heck, I'll stop off at Obie's, get some food, and head back home. Yeah.
What do you go there? Can you get away from not getting the pizza, or...?
I did have a pizza last night, Frank. As a matter of fact, you can't beat it.
It really is good.
For local bar food, you can't beat it. Oh, and by the way, this just in, news that Obie Clark's will be closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, maybe a little bit of Wednesday. They're going to be remodeling up at Obie Clark's.
Wow.
Spending all that Stanley Cup money.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Anything now, special they have in store?
I don't know. It's not going to turn into the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel, but there'll be some improvements made. Joe hasn't totally revealed those plans. We're just hoping that they keep the green lights up on a yearly basis.
Yeah, very nice.
Maybe a snug named after Bill McDermott. Maybe, maybe a pub table for Furman.
They do have a Jim Gessling table there, right?
They do. Jim Gessling table, as a matter of fact, and some of the bar stools are named after people. Interesting, at the Friars Club, they've had the Frank Sinatra chair, the Henny Youngman chair, the Alan King chair, the London Lee chair. Remember the old comedian London Lee? Freddie Roman. Okay, we're drifting far.
Yeah. I don't recognize those names.
Whenever we have Bill, it usually gets back to the Friars Club, and then I think of... My TV boss for many years, Spencer Koch, loved Sinatra and Jerry Lewis and all their old stories. And there was a Jerry Lewis story where Frank took him to dinner. I think it was Don Rickles or Jerry Lewis, and there was like 30 people at the dinner. Frank loved to have a big entourage and this huge meal. And they said at one point, a telegram's delivered to Frank. And they're like, excuse me, Mr. Sinatra, you have a telegram. And it was from Don Rickles that said, pass the salt. And he had ordered a telegram to deliver it.
Only Rickles. Tremendous.
All right. A lot to discuss. Let me read you this text, because I think the non-hardcore soccer fan, this represents them with this text. Naming a soccer team FC is so stupid. You're playing in a soccer league. Everyone knows what kind of club you are. You don't need to have it in the name. Kind of a response to that, sir.
A lot of people have offered that, Frank. And as a matter of fact, the title of the respective leagues in which you play, MLS, Major League Soccer, USL, United Soccer League. Yes, we play soccer in the United States. You play football around the world. I know there's a big differentiation in the two, but in the United States, the sport has always been known as soccer. But some of the old established way of thinking, people have always thought it was a cachet to be labeled an FC, a football club. I don't know how I come down on that. I initially thought that when the Columbus Crew named them SC, they were headed on the right track because they were at least catering to the existing soccer fans here in our country, which are accustomed to calling soccer teams, not football teams. Because under the banner of what Marshall McLuhan said, the masses are asses. Believe me, some people still conclude the fact that, well, St. Louis Football Club, we do have a football team back here in St. Louis. Well, the contrary is obviously accurate.
The masses are asses.
I like it.
What's your gut as far as Tuesday? Do they roll out the name, or do you think they take some time with that?
I think the latter, Martin. I think they'll take some time with that. They've been working on so many other things. so many tremendously important things with reference to the final development of the land, when in actuality you can start building, the final summation of what the stadium is going to look like. HOK and Snow Cry Lake combined on that, it's going to be a magnificent venue. As a matter of fact, that's the thing, that's the item that's at the top of the list that has made this league so dramatically successful, oh, heck, within the last decade, and that is the dawn of the soccer-specific stadium. That has changed this sport entirely.
What about the chances of them naming the face of the franchise, a president or a GM, on Tuesday, or do you think that will wait?
I think that will wait as well, Frank. I think that it's just a matter of naming, getting the fact out there that St. Louis has indeed finally joined the league after months and months of conjecture. Well, actually, you know, this really just began on Tuesday, October 9th of last year. That was the official press announcement at the Matthews Dickey Boys and Girls Club. And fast forward to, Thursday, April 19th of this year, when the league announced that not only are we going to teams 28 and 29, but we're going to 30 teams. Now, who teams 29 and 30 are going to be right now, we don't know. But this all happened pretty quickly. So consequently, a lot of monumentally important things are being worked on. This is an astounding investment from the Taylor and the Kavanaugh families.
How about the league as a whole? And we talked earlier about viability. There's some towns that have struggled more than others. Columbus almost ended up moving to Texas before Austin got a team. What are the – is it just financial? Is it interest? What are the hurdles that they need to overcome as a league?
I think it's a little bit of both, Martin, the financial aspect of things and how well you're respected in your community. Columbus, I think, I had been there, did games in Columbus for many years. You are always, always going to be the second sport in Columbus to Ohio State University, irrespective of what sport you're talking about at Ohio State. But Columbus has a battle there. But the overall attendance in the league over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years has been between 18,500, 20,000, 22,500, things of that nature. The place that's absolutely going crazy is Atlanta. About 3 weeks ago, a league game, they had 72,000 people for the Atlanta-Los Angeles Galaxy game. Seattle has had 43,000 as an average over the last 4 or 5 years. So the league is here to stay. Now, every team does not average 60,000 like Atlanta and in Seattle, but they are all catching up simply because the sport is becoming a front-page news sport. And I don't just mean front-page in the sports section, in the overall papers, as a matter of fact, in major metropolitan daily newspapers.
What about some of these cities that are only drawing 14,000, like a Boston or a Houston, bigger cities than St. Louis? And as you and I talked about last night, there's no doubt in your mind you think they'll sell this place out.
I do indeed think that, Frank. It's because St. Louis has been longing for this for decades. St. Louis has always wanted to be a part of this league. It's a sport for a changing America. People are tremendously savvy with reference to social media. They're mobile. It's going to be a young crowd, and it's people who want to be entertained for a two-hour window. They look forward to seeing the fact that it's possible. It's possible that there could be some St. Louis players of good description, good pedigree, linking up with some existing players of pedigree on the international stage. So it's just a matter for all those other teams around the league. As I mentioned, everyone's not going to be like Atlanta and Seattle, but some other teams along the way will continue to prove as they continue to get more better players from around the world. That's the key. Americans are big event people. If you can get players into your league, into your team that have participated in World Cups, they have name awareness, existing equity in their names, get them into your town, cater to the particular makeup of your population in your city, which St. Louis can do very easily by catering to the Bosnian community. There are more Bosnians in the city of St. Louis any place in the world other than Sarajevo. And there's some magnificent players who I think would look forward. I have no idea of knowing this. This is pure conjecture on my part. I think there are some magnificent players currently playing around the world of Bosnian descent who would relish the opportunity of finishing their careers in a Bosnian community.
So we talked about the league as a whole. What about specifically MLS for the Lou? What are the hurdles that they'll face? There's, you know, this is certainly the honeymoon period. There's excitement. But if you were sitting in a room and said, all right, what do we have to look out for? What will slow us down? What are those hurdles?
Well, I think, Martin, as of right now, with reference to the announcement next week, all the major stipulations have been taken place, have been finalized. The final stadium plan, a commitment of corporate support other than Worldwide Enterprise, full knowledge of the composition of the ownership group, detailed economics on the overall funding. It's a full local ownership group. The league loves that aspect of what they've been doing. It's local ownership, a strategic plan for fan development, player development, starting with the academy process, going up through USL, and then community programs. As I mentioned, the press announcement last year took place at the Matthews Dickey's Boys Club. St. Louis Scott Gallagher has been making some real inroads with reference to players up at the Matthews Dickey Boys Club. They've had a group of Ugandan refugees have been playing over the new fields at Forest Park. So they made some inroads in that particular capacity. This is the one true world's game, and it's all-inclusive. Any and all nationalities are involved. If you look at the roster of St. Louis FC, that's a case in point of that particular point.
How likely is it that St. Louis FC would survive with an MLS team coming here? Now, granted, we're a long way away, 2022,
right.
So St. Louis FC is going to be here for a while, but can it last when the MLS team is here also?
I think so, Frank, and Jim Cavanaugh has been adamant about that fact every time I've talked to him about this particular topic. He said that St. Louis FC will continue to be involved in the overall structure, the overall soccer pyramid of the sport. St. Louis in years past and decades past, that had always been their problem. The problem was from the bottom going to the, from the top going to the bottom. No one had been a visible entity since Denny Long was no longer involved in the sport. But ever since Carolyn Kendall Betts and the overall Taylor family got involved with Jim Cavanaugh, that dynamic has totally changed.
Who's a natural rival? Kansas City? Would Columbus factor in at some point?
Yes, for sure. Columbus, Houston, Dallas, Kansas City, Chicago. With reference to that, Martin, St. Louis used to have a great rivalry, a tremendous rivalry in the NASL days when they played either at Busch Stadium or Francis Field with the then Chicago Sting. So the Chicago Fire would be a likely geographic makeup, but in particular, Kansas City. Kansas City would be a number one geographic rival.
Bill, refresh my memory. I can remember Pele coming to Busch Stadium in 70 and 72, and seemingly I think Busch Stadium had 50,000. But that St. Louis Stars team with Casey Frankowitz and Al Trost and Pat McBride, did they draw much at Busch on a regular basis? I know it's a long time ago.
Yeah, they drew on a regular basis, Frank, somewhere between 9, 10, 14, 15,000 people. No, that by no means. By no means in the early days, in particular, the St. Louis Stars would fill Busch Stadium, the old Busch Stadium. But when it first began, 67, 68, 69, the old North American Soccer League, as I mentioned this just a few moments ago, how your team would work in the future, it was the combination of foreign players, a goodly number of whom still had plenty of soccer left, combining with the St. Louis player, Pat McBride, Carl Gentile, Nick Kratt, Eddie Clear, Don Cerisi, Jack Keneally, players like that. So the existing identity of the St. Louis player with top international players coming in, that is what made things work.
Good stuff, Bill. We appreciate it. Oh, somebody texting in. Mr. Soccer had the best name for the STL club on the show about a year back, tied in the legacy of the sport here. Do you remember that name you came up with?
I did. What is simply the name St. Louis Legacy. And if there's any team, not just currently in the sport, but in the history of the sport in our country, that can have the audacity to use the word legacy in their title, it would be St. Louis, simply because they are the birthplace of the popularity of the sport in our country, and that dates way back to 1875.
He's headed to Obie Clark's now for lunch. Put it on our tab.
Will do. I'll just sign. Thanks,
sign
Mark.
Big Walt. There you go.
That's right.
All right, the great Bill McDermott joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I would be okay with that, St. Louis Legacy. That's not bad at all. What do you think, guys? It's better than St. Louis FC?
I don't mind that. Gateway United, Gateway FC. If you had, I understand some people are like, oh, get rid of the FC. I don't hate the FC. That idea, Gateway FC, doesn't bother me.
I feel like legacy requires a lot of explaining.
Yeah. I know we have a history, a rich soccer history,
right.
But it feels a little bit like the B-fib, like, hey, we're really special.
Yeah.
We're great at soccer, and we always have, but that's the only thing I don't like about
How
it.
How are we the legacy when we're, what, the 30th team
28th. Hey, 28th, pal.
28th.
Wow.
So,
wait a minute, he's talking about the legacy of our great players, the Trost,
yes,
the McBride,
the teams and fan bases outside of the, like, outside of St. Louis who are cheering for Seattle or Chicago will look at that and be like, oh, they're the legacy? They're the 28th team.
Here come the legacy.
Here come.
All right, we'll take a short time out. I imagine the chocolate drops will be coming very shortly.
Okay,
Joe,
I didn't hear that part. I was on the phone with Bill.
Well, you're not part of this. This was a deal we cut with you out of the room, okay?
Joe Lordo was listening from Missouri Baking Company, and we hope to hear from him very shortly.
All right.
All right, before we go to break, quick word about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. Plenty of activities, great food, movies every night. It's just a wonderful place to spend the sunset of your life, the Gatesworth. We'll be right back.